Welcome to Financial Repression Authority's Roundtable Insight, where the best fund managers, economists, and industry leaders discuss the key investment issues and challenges in the current macroeconomic environment.
Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is Richard Benulli. Today we have Nick Barashev. He's the author of $10,000 Gold, Why Gold's Inevitable Rise is the Investor's Safe Haven. And he's also the founder, president, and CEO of BMG Group, a company dedicated to providing investors with a secure, cost-effective, transparent way to purchase and hold physical bullion. BMG Group is an associate member of the London Bullion Market Association, LBMA. Nick is widely recognized as an international bullion expert. He's written numerous articles on bullion and current market trends that are published on various news and business websites. He's appeared on BNN, Bloomberg, CNBC, and Sun Media, and has been interviewed for articles published in leading business publications across North America, Europe, and Asia. Welcome, Nick.
Well, thank you, Richard. It is a pleasure to be here.
Great. I thought we'd do a focus today on the precious metals markets. Mm-hmm. And to begin with, just what are your general thoughts on that market in the individual specific markets in particular, if you want to go through each one from your perspective?
Well, I guess the first thing people ask, because my book, $10,000 Gold, the usual question is, well, Nick, do you still think gold's going to go to 10,000? So the first question is most definitely so. And people usually want, you know, well, why do you think that and so on. And to me, the answer is relatively simple, is that there's a huge disparity in terms of how much gold is held in investment portfolios by institutions, by pension funds. The actual allocation is about 0.5%. Now, if you were to move, you know, the market decline, people get a little bit nervous, and you move that allocation from 0.5% to 5%, that means there'll be $15 trillion of dollars chasing what amounts to a total of 1.7 trillion of above ground gold. Now, even if all that 1.7 trillion was available, the only way you can divide 15 trillion into 1.7 is you have to increase the 1.7 tenfold. And that's on a minor reallocation from 0.5% to 5%. In today's market, my recommendation is normally 10 to 20% is okay. Today, you need to hold more than 20%. So when you look at that, there's $44 trillion in pension funds. Virtually none have any gold. Okay, now the pension funds, unless they're the first ones to the table, are just not going to be able to buy nearly enough gold. But the first guys that come in are going to be able to buy what gold there is, and that'll be it. So this is what people aren't considering, is these kind of disparities. And like I say, I think we're in my career, I've been in the business 45 years, there's never been a triple simultaneous bubble. We have a triple bubble in stocks, bonds, and real estate right now. But making it worse than ever, it's sitting on a mountain of personal, corporate, and government debt. So when this bubble bursts, look out below.
Mm-hmm. And what about on other markets, like on silver, platinum, palladium?
Well, so we don't follow palladium, but silver and platinum are dramatically undervalued relative to gold. Like, I think gold is undervalued where it should be, but silver and platinum are even worse. Silver is running at about 80 to 1. whereas the historic mean is 50 to 1. And we've had periods where it's like 15 to 1. So sooner or later, you're gonna have that gap filled, and silver will be the best performing. Platinum, it's also typically platinum is several hundred dollars higher than gold. Right now, it's several hundred dollars below gold. So there's a catching up to do. And these catch-ups will happen if there's any kind of shortage of physical bullion to buy. People will be forced to switch to the next best thing, which is silver, platinum, and palladium.
And which of these markets do you are you the most bullish on?
Well, I think silver is the most, because it's the most undervalued, and like the saying goes, it's poor man's gold, so more people can afford silver and so on. And then plus silver has the most industrial uses, so you've got a huge demand for industrial applications, and then you have the monetary demand for silver, which right now is relatively low, but it will be, you know, high again once things develop.
And what do you see currently as the potential catalyst for higher precious metals prices?
The catalyst, it's a long list of what you would consider black swan events, and there's so many of them, it's hard to say, but the paradigm that we've been living in for the last 10 years is not going to repeat in the next 10 years. I think it's going to be the exact opposite, and that's what people aren't conditioned. They've got used to this. The existing paradigm, the market's going up, et cetera, and everybody thinks that's the way it's going to be. And it's going to be anything but that. And so when any of these, let's call them black swan events, like just take, for example, that doesn't get covered in the media much, but Deutsche Bank is like Lehman times 100. Okay, and there's, if you look into it, there's absolutely no doubt that it's going to fail. It's just a question of when. It's in the process of failing. It's got the biggest derivatives book in the world, and all the European Union is interconnected, and there isn't enough money in the European Union to bail it out when it goes down. That's just one black swan that is being ignored in the mainstream media.
And what about the potential of a catalyst being the millennial generation coming to realization of what it means to have a store of value? You know, currently they, you know, a lot of millennials will have Google wallets and they pay for coffee at Starbucks, you know, with that.
Yeah, but that's where I think, you know, we're all going to be in for, you know, a big wake-up call. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with a couple of our shareholders who sold a couple of their companies for $300 million apiece, lots of money, etc. I asked them, how much cash do you have? And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, physical cash. And they said, none. So no cash in your pocket, no cash at home. So what's going to happen, you know, if there's a computer glitch, never mind, you know, a major crash, an end of the world scenario, just a computer glitch, and the banks can't access your records, then you're like every poor person. You can't buy food and you can't put gas in the car. We've become too complacent about everything computerized. That can vanish in a flash. And the millennials particularly are so vulnerable. They don't know what cash is. But that our whole system in Australia, They had the software that ran the banking system for about half the banks in Australia. I think it was about 3-4 years ago. That software crashed, so the banks couldn't access the files. They didn't know how much money was in your account. The credit cards didn't work. The debit cards didn't work. Nothing worked for 2 weeks. Okay? So what good is all the cryptocurrencies, the virtual assets, that going to do you in a simple situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, everybody's got too used to digital everything. Well, digital everything can vanish in a heartbeat.
And what about also on catalysts with regard to the sort of enhancement of gold into the international monetary system? So specifically like increase of central bank holdings, what are your thoughts on that as a catalyst?
Well, what I think is that everybody that studied the situation, like China purports to have 1,600 tons of gold in the central banks. But many of the analysts have looked at that and conclude that they have at least 5,000 to 6,000 tons. But China buys their gold through the sovereign wealth fund. And that doesn't report anything to anybody. And when it suits them, they'll move it to the central bank. So what's going to happen is one day when China's ready and has bought all the gold it wants, they're going to move it to the central bank and they're going to say, okay, now we've got 6,000 tons of gold in the central bank. Now, the dilemma on that is going to become, because the two reporting organizations, CPM and GFMS, have tracked every ounce of gold from a supply-demand point of view, and it's all being accounted for. So if China announces that suddenly it's got an additional 6,000 tons, where did that come from? Well, what they don't account for is the leased gold. You know, and if China has 6,000 tons, somebody else doesn't. And that somebody else is probably the U.S. So when that announcement gets made, then you know, that'll be the end of the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their agenda in terms of both Russia and China. It's not a secret. That's the plan. They want to get away from the hegemony of the U.S. dollar and have a different currency system. Now, whether it'll be IMF's drawing rights or something else, but the planned objective is to get away from the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm. And could that form be on the basis of government-based cryptocurrencies on precious metals or gold for China and Russia? Do you see that?
I separate, you know, there's cryptocurrencies and there's blockchain. So blockchain's a good technology to track stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need a cryptocurrency. You need blockchain to do the tracking so that you write the software and so on. But that's the kind of the government. I don't see the government allowing private alternative forms of currency
mm-hmm.
to happen. If you look up digital currencies on Wikipedia, you'll find that every single one in the past, even attempt like the Silver Liberty, which was a coin, a physical silver coin, eventually get used by drug dealers, money launderers, pornographers, you name it, and then they come in and raid you and arrest you. That's what happens. And it's going to happen every time because the anonymity in cryptocurrencies, sooner or later that's going to happen and they're going to have their excuse to raid.
Yeah, I think China has been ramping up a crackdown in the last few weeks in that regard.
Yeah, but eventually be that. Like I say, they've done that every other time is almost a guarantee. And again, if you got the monopoly to print money like the U.S. Fed has, you're not going to allow competitors to come in. They might get started and get some, but you know it's not going to happen long term to be serious.
Right. And just before we started our talk, we were discussing the development earlier this year by Bank of International Settlements with regards to the ability to hold gold as an asset. Can you educate our listeners on that? What was that development and what could the potential be for gold?
The development was that it changed the category of gold, and it is with respect to both central banks and commercial banks that hold allocated gold as part of their assets. So if they do, in the past, it would get discounted in terms of its value from an asset point of view. Now it's considered equal to U.S. dollars or U.S. treasuries, and the BIS calls it a zero risk asset. And the zero risk is that, you know, gold has no counterparty liabilities. Gold is gold, and that's it. Everything else has a counterparty.
And in terms of drivers for prices of gold, do you also see what, for example, Martin Armstrong emphasized a lot in terms of loss of faith in the institutions that he sees coming up in the next few years as being a major driver for the price of gold?
Well, I think so. Like the loss of faith is going to – there's a couple of crises like that are in the works. So in 2008, it was a crisis based on subprime mortgages. The total amount of subprime mortgages was $1.2 trillion. Now you have $1.6 trillion of student loans, 20% of which are already in default. That's just student loans.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you've got pension funds like in California. CalPERS manages most of the municipal pension funds. So you've got various municipalities in California where the pensioners have already received the letter saying, so sorry, but from now on, your pension fund is going to, your pension payments every month are going to be cut by 50%. That's already happened multiple times because there is no other choice. There's not enough people working to support the pensioners. You can't increase the payments by the workers. The investments aren't doing any good. And while everybody talks about diversified investments, well, stocks and bonds are just two asset classes out of seven. And that's all they hold. The best asset classes are REITs and gold, and none of the pension funds have either. So there's going to be a crisis as these defaults continue across the country. Then there'll be more and more lawsuits. The lawyers are going to get rich because there are going to be billion-dollar class action lawsuits against the insurers, the trustees, the pension fund managers, the actuaries, all that's going to happen once people stop getting their checks.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable.
Yes, and what are your forecasts for precious metals prices for the next 1 to 5 years?
Well, I think we're going to finish a correction now, which might take us down to high 1300s or 1400 as a worst case scenario, but we'll bounce back up to at least 1500 by year end. So from that point of view, then, you know, the next stages are hard to determine, because the certain thing is, I don't like to get into too much politics and so on, because that's highly divisive. But the issue is that if they don't impeach Trump, now the Democrats are going to file articles of impeachment, but then it's going to be a horror show in the Senate, because everybody's going to get subpoenaed then. And the Senate is not going to impeach Trump. Now, if they fail at the impeachment, and if there is in fact a deep state, will they crash the markets just to ensure he doesn't get elected?
Mm.
So that's a coin toss.
And this would have effects on the precious metals prices.
On everything, you know.
Everything.
Because when the markets tank, then the precious metals, that's the whole beauty of precious metals, is they're the most negatively correlated asset.
Yes.
Stocks and bonds. So stocks, bonds, everything go down. Precious metals go in the opposite direction. That's happened every other correction that we have in history.
Uh-huh.
So it's a question of time. Is it going to be before the election, after the election, this spring? I'm sure you're aware of Ray Dalio. Placed a $1.5 billion investment in S&P puts for the spring. $1.5 billion.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So, what does he know?
Yeah. Exactly. And finally, last question is: can you elaborate on the best ways to invest in precious metals, especially given all considerations, legal considerations, ownership, your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is, you need to start with a core base of physical bullion. Now, the thing is that there is no one recommendation for everybody, because if you're barely making ends meet in terms of your day-to-day bills, or you're a billionaire, it's a different story, right? So it's basically, you know, it depends. Most regular people don't have any money to invest outside of their registered retirement savings plans. They don't have any extra cash. So in that case, your choices are you've got to make an investment within your RRSP, and that's why I set up our funds in the first place, so you can have a bullion investment in your RSP. So that's for the majority. If you're a billionaire, then, you know, we can accommodate with you, and you can buy bullion. You can store it with Brinks and anywhere in Canada, Hong Kong, which wouldn't be a good choice these days.
Yeah.
Singapore, Dubai, Geneva and Panama. So there's a wide spectrum between that. Things like mining stocks and so on, mining stocks can be very good speculative investments if you get it right. But most people get it wrong. And the issue is that when the market corrects, mining stocks have a tendency to correct more than the broad equity markets, even when the price of gold is going up. And that's because they are relatively thinly traded compared to equities. For example, all the mining stocks in the world have smaller market cap than Microsoft alone. So if you have a big sell-off in equities, they get caught up in the wash and get obliterated. So the issue is, even if you want to invest in mining stocks, you hold bullion first. After the correction, you'd be able to buy mining stocks at 50 to 70% discounts.
And can you elaborate, discuss a bit on the legal entitlement of gold through various means like ETFs, GLD, mutual funds? You know, there's always a question.
Like I say, that comes down to, you know, somebody that purports to have the gold needs to mm-hmm. own the gold. And the process is the same as for any other asset class. You buy, you know, a car from me, I transfer title to you, I specify the make, model, serial number, VIN number, and that's what I'm transferring to you. So in gold, it's refiner, serial number, weight, and purity. There has to be a document transferring that specific bar.
Yeah.
And unless you have that, you don't own any gold. You have someone's pledge to give you gold or pay you money according to the price of gold, mm-hmm. but that's not owning gold. So, for instance, in our mutual fund, we go to great trouble to track, and if you go on our website, it has a list of all the bars that are held on the behalf of the unit holders by the fund. When we sell bars, you get a deed for your each bar that you own that's held in storage at whatever storage location you choose. So you need that at the most. In most cases, you don't have that. If you're just buying coins to store at home, that's not a problem. Buy the coin, just have to make sure they're not fake gold coins, which are prolific these days, and easy to forge.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, excellent insight, Nick. And how can our listeners learn more about your work?
Well, the $10,000 gold book, we've done an audio CD of it. So you can either get it on Amazon or any of the other streaming services or go to our website and get the CD. We've found that it's a lot easier to listen to the CD than to read the book. So, and the book really covers, the whole gold story from A to Z. So people that want, they can get a copy of the CD, listen to it in their car on the way to work. So that's what's working for a lot of people. And then if any of your listeners are a pension fund, we'll happily talk to them, because then we can discuss the benefits, our new hedge fund for them. Our hedge fund is designed to put a dent into the unfunded liabilities of the pension funds. Mm-hmm. And by the way, on that topic is what doesn't seem to register with everybody, is that if your pension fund has $1 million in assets and $100,000 in unfunded liabilities, and the market crashes by 50%, your $1 million in assets become $500,000, and your pension liabilities become $600,000. You imagine the magnitude of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And the thing is that they're all underfunded when they've had the longest running bull market in history. What's going to happen next?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll have to end it there, just running out of time, but it's been a fascinating discussion, Nick, and great insight. Thank you very much.
Okay, my pleasure.
Listeners, yeah.
The FRA Roundtable Insight Show is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the show each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Any discussions among the panel participants or responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the panel participants and do not take into consideration the listener's suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Please be advised that you invest or speculate at your own risk.